Our lesson this morning is entitled, If You Think You're Standing. If You Think You Are Standing. There is a common and very popular teaching in the religious world, and it goes by several names. It's called the perseverance of the saints. Once saved, always saved. Eternal security. And the impossibility of apostasy. Those all are statements that are ways of saying that a Christian can't ever fall from grace and be lost. And they're very common. Very popular. Well, why wouldn't they be popular? Why, if we believe that particular statement, then once I'm a Christian, nothing I do could ever keep me out of heaven. That'd be wonderful, and then we can go about and do whatever we like, and we still get to go to heaven. The question is, does the Bible teach that, or is that a man-made doctrine? Let's look at what the Bible says. Let's examine some of these things. And some will say, well, that's not what that doctrine means. Oh, yes it is. In fact, one who teaches this very doctrine, his name is Sam Morris, he said this, we take the position that a Christian's sins do not damn his soul. The way a Christian lives, what he says, his character, his conduct, or his attitude toward other people have nothing whatever to do with the salvation of his soul. Now, that's by a man who believes that. He said that's what they believe and that's what they teach. That's the position they take. If you have once been saved, then it doesn't matter what you do, you can't be lost. Once I become a Christian, I could then become a mass murderer and it'd be okay. I'd still get to go to heaven. Is that what the Bible teaches? Is that what Christ taught his disciples, his apostles? Let's examine the significance of conditional statements. See, we're talking about unconditional salvation versus conditional salvation. Let's look then at some conditional statements. What is a conditional statement? A conditional statement is a statement depending upon a condition or conditions. It's not absolute. In other words, there are things that can happen that can change that statement. If someone were to say, if I don't have to work, I'll be at your house tomorrow at 3 o'clock. That's a conditional statement. It means if they do have to work, they won't be there. And I know that. I understand that. We use conditional statements all the time. Well, if I feel up to it, I'll do such and such with you. If I have the money, I'll buy such and such. Yes, that's what that word is. We use statements like that all the time. And we always understand what we're talking about when we say that. If somebody says, if I get back into town, I'll see you on such and such a day. If they don't show up on that day, we don't say, well, they were liars. No, they said, if. By saying if, it makes every statement either possible or not possible, depending on the circumstances, depending on the condition. That's what a conditional statement is. So let's look at some of these examples from the scriptures of conditional statements. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. They believed on him. So that's it, right? They're saved. Nothing can happen to them, but they believed on him, right? Well, what does he say? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. That means that if they didn't continue in his word, they wouldn't still be his disciples. That's what he said. If you continue, you'll be my disciple. If you don't continue, you're not my disciple. Colossians 1:21-23. Specifically verse 23 we want to look at. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which is preached to every creature which is under heaven. If you continue, He has said that he'd been reconciled to come. We understand this in all of our relationships. If we have a fight for our one was going to be lost. Even though it was something God had given Jesus into his hand, he was one of the 12 apostles. Was God unable to save? No, no. It wasn't God's fault. It was Judas' fault. Judas went and sold Jesus. He had the choice. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves us. And that's how powerful he is, that he could give his Son to save us. Notice those phrases, that phrase, whoever believeth in him should not perish. Have you ever done anything that you should not do? I know I have. We've all done things that we should not do. Does that mean then that if people are Christians, they never will perish? No. They should not, but you know what? Some will. Some will do things that they should not do, including perish. Some will be lost eternally, even though they shouldn't because they believed in Jesus. But somewhere along the line, they lost track of that, and they'll perish as a result. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now there's the key though, how they walk. They walk after the Spirit. What'd that guy say? Whatever their actions, their thoughts, their attitudes don't matter. What does he say? He says, the people who are in Christ Jesus walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we go back to walking after the flesh, we're not in Christ Jesus. He'll spew us out of his mouth. Romans 8:35-39 also says, particularly in verse 38 following, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But you know what? We can reject that love. Nobody else can separate us from it. No power. No, nothing to separate us. Well, let's look at some verses that he can see Paul. Some of these other conditional statements that he doesn't understand, you know, we're not always in and out, in and out. We're walking in the line. those little books, there's a verse that teaches that someone can fall away. We're not going to read all of those. You can take those home and look them all up yourself. But all of these passages teach us that every one of these inspired writers believes that it's possible for a Christian who was once saved, once in life, who had tasted of the heavenly gift, who would be the first to fall away. In fact, the book of Hebrews puts it in just those terms. One who has been once in life, who has tasted the heavenly gift, if he falls away, it's impossible to renew him again to repentance. It's impossible for us to do to save that person. They may repent like Simon did and turn back and save themselves, but it's impossible for us to do anything to save sin. In fact, John says in one of his letters, there is a sin unto death, and I do not say you should pray for that sin. Person who's committed that sin unto death. There's no point in even praying about that person. In other words, the doctrine of a purgatory where people can go after they die and then you pray them out of it, forget it. Somebody sins to death and they die in their sin, don't pray for them, it won't do any good. It's too late. He's writing these things. All of these things that we're looking at were written to Christians. You know, the Bible really leaves no doubt for the honest. There's no doubt. Verse after verse after verse indicates that a Christian can fall away. Not God's power that's limited. Nobody can take us away from God. But if we choose to leave, that's our choice. God is not going to make people go to heaven that don't want to be there. That's what this doctrine says. This doctrine says if you were saved and then you change your mind and decide you don't want to go to heaven, he's going to make you go anyway. Now, God is going to send some people to hell who don't want to be there. Every one of them. Because nobody's going to want to be there. But they're going to be there. But you're not going to go to heaven if you don't want to. He's not going to make you. He's not going to force you. You have the choice whether you obey or disobey. We should be more faithful knowing this. We should. Sometimes people aren't. Sometimes I think we actually believe that we can't fall. I live like, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'll be okay. We need to get it through our thick heads that we can fall. We can sin so grievously that God will blot our name out of His book. Saw 2 Peter 1:10 earlier. Wherefore the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you do these things, if we keep walking in the light, if we remain steadfast in the faith, if we do these things, we'll never fall. We need to be working to do those things so that we never fall. So that we don't just drift leisurely and slowly out of the way. What about the church at Laodicea? I'm ready to spew you out of my mouth. And how many other passages that we didn't even look at? Let him who thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Paul was writing to Christians when he said that. What about all those passages that teach of going to a brother who's in sin and restoring such a one? How can you restore them if they never were falling away? We've got to restore them. We've got to bring them back because they're lost. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you've been living your life like whatever you did didn't matter. You're saved and so I can live any way I want to live now. If you've been living your life that way, you need to repent of that attitude. And you need to start living every day serving the Master who died for you. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you've never become a Christian. If not, you need to. While there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is certain condemnation for those who are without. Jesus said, he that does not believe is condemned already, in John chapter 3. Already condemned. He's changed ways. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. He that repenteth and is baptized, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's how we get those sins taken away. By repenting of those sins and being baptized to wash them away. If you're here today and you need to become a Christian, or as a Christian you've been falling away and you need to get back up, whatever the case may be, we ask that you come as we stand and